We're continuing the Avat Chesed. We're on page Resh Yutes in the Standard Edition, page Resh Peites in the Zelgman Edition. Mabu Chazal, our sages, taught and attracted Bab Mitzia. Ala Pasuk, over the verse that says, V'odotalem tadech shel yelchuva, teach the people of Israel the way they shall go, the path they shall go on. So our sages said, Et aderech, when it speaks about the path, that's talking about gmilut chasadim, doing kindness to our fellow man. Now that means any way in which you can do kindness to your fellow man. It could be physical kindness, helping him unload his car. How many times do we walk by someone who's unloading his car, bringing bags into the house? What's the big deal to help him carry the bags? Sometimes you'll see in the winter, people are schlepping bags, and they have to bring it into the house. And as they're taking it out of the car, everything's getting wet. What's the big deal to stop a minute and help them? So that's gemilus chesed. Gemilus chesed, doing kindness, is kindness we do to our fellow man with our body, physically. And I think it's obvious, but maybe it isn't obvious because not everyone does it. If you see a woman getting on a bus with a carriage, it's nice to help her get on the bus with the carriage. If she's getting off, it's nice to help her carry the carriage down. Same thing with steps. It's nice to help a person take him up. And if I was on a bus last week on my way here Thursday night, and I was dead tired. I wanted to catch a nap before... No, it was after Thursday night. Sure, it was the midnight bus. So I was dead tired. It was midnight. And I had a nice seat. And we get to stop, and a soldier gets on, and he's carrying a baby. So he has his gun and a baby, and he's holding on, and all the seats are taken. So I see everyone around me sitting comfortably in their seat, telling him, "You want to sit?" And he's like, "No, I'm fine." And I'm waiting, because I looked around, and everyone else seemed much more filled with life. They were coming from town than I was. I figured, I'm tired, let them give him their seat. So I'm waiting, and I see this guy. They're all sitting and saying, "Here, you want a seat?" And he says, "No, I'm fine." And after three people, I realized none of them are offering it to him in a way that he'll be comfortable taking it. So I took my laptop, I took my jacket, I got off the seat, and I told him, "Come sit down." And the seat was available. I wasn't sitting there telling him, "Do you want the seat?" I got up and I said to the soldier, "Come sit down." And he did. No argument. So three people are sitting there asking him, "Do you want the seat?" Sure. Now he's supposed to tell him, "Yeah, I want the seat and I want you to get out of your comfortable position and give me your seat." So he didn't do that. So I'm seeing him flying around with his gun and the baby and telling everyone, no, I'm fine. But no, he wasn't fine. So there's a way to do chesed also. Remind me after class to tell you who I learned this from, how to offer a seat. That's a story I don't have the guts to tell online. I learned that from someone, but there's a way to do chesed. Meaning, you want to do kindness with someone, you got to make them feel comfortable. You guys are going to start dating. So, if you're walking on the date and you ask the girl, "Do you want to sit down?" That's equivalent to telling the girl, "Are you so weak that I have to stop our walk and sit down?" So she's going to say, "No, I'm okay." But if you say, what do you say, "We sit down"? Not "Do you want to?" But what do you say, "We sit down"? I had a guest when we were newly married, and I was serving him. And I asked him, "Should I give you more?" And he said, "When you have a guest in your house, you keep giving until the guest tells you stop." He was right. He taught me something. You don't put the guest in a situation where he has to say, "Yes, I want more." You start dishing out, and he'll say, "Stop, it's enough." Don't give out one spoonful and then say, "Do you want more?" And then he has to say yes, and then give him another spoon and say, "Do you want more?" That's making him uncomfortable. Your job is to give. Let him say, "Stop, that's enough." Now, the idea, he said, is a Gemara in Brachos. It's quoted in Halacha too. That why is it that the head of the house says Amotzi, makes the blessing over the bread? Because the head of the house is going to give a larger portion than a person is going to be comfortable taking for himself. So common etiquette says that when you're a guest at someone's house, you're not supposed to take that largest piece of bread or chicken or whatever it is. If the host is serving, he's supposed to offer it to you or give it to you. But if you're the guest, then you're supposed to have that etiquette that you're not going to take it for yourself. But the host is supposed to be giving it. So chesed doing chesed involves a certain cost. It's doing it with our body. It's doing it physically. It's doing it with our money. Le'inyan ashalat kelim chaytze b'zeh, including lending things. I had an interesting thing. I had a worker over last night, and he showed up very late, but he notified me that he's not going to be around for another month. So I didn't have a choice but to say, yeah, let's work. So he was fixing something, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't focus on anything anymore, and I couldn't go to sleep until he finishes and leaves, right? So what am I supposed to do at 1 o'clock in the morning? I couldn't see straight anymore. So there was one thing which was on my to-do list, which I hadn't done in a long time. I have tools. As you, as Hashem, you'll get married, you'll have a house, you'll see that it's cheaper to buy tools than to hire people to fix things for you. Every time you hire someone, they tell you they come at 9, and then they don't show up till 10:30, 11, and then they say, I just got to go buy something, and then they show up again at 1, and they waste so many hours of your day that it's quicker to do it yourself most of the time. That's how I learned to fix a lot of things around the house. When we first got married, I didn't have a tool, and I didn't know how to do a thing. But today, I've learned to do a lot, and I have a lot of tools. But I lend the tools out. And I discovered that people who borrow tools don't always remember to return them. So what I started doing is writing my name on the tools. I got a permanent marker and I write my name so that people can return it. People don't purposely hold on to your tools. They just forget. So some tools, like a silver wrench, you're going to have a hard time writing your name on it. But I lent someone a wrench 2 years ago, and it was just to fix one thing under his sink. And about 4 or 5 months ago, Pesach time, I got it back. Now, why did I get it back? Because I put a little keychain on it with my name. So it taught me something. If you put your name on objects, you'll get them back. So last night at 1 o'clock in the morning, while I was waiting for this guy to finish his job, I started writing on all the tools I have. I wrote my name with a permanent marker. What else could I do? So that's in order to facilitate doing chesed. Meaning, you're supposed to lend your tools. You're supposed to do chesed. But you're not supposed to lose your tools. You're not supposed to give them and then not have them when you need them. So, by writing my name, I'm at least taking another step and getting it back. So, remember, yes, this is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of chesed involves bodily and monetarily helping other people, but intelligently. Someone called this morning and it's an emergency. He must have a loan of 18,000 shekel. What's happening? He has a business which drives kids and brings them to school, and his car broke down and he needs to buy a new car, and he's short 18,000 shekel, but it's his parnasa and he'll easily be able to pay it back. I never met this person and I don't know who gave him my name and number. But one of the questions I asked him was, how much debt do you have? How many outstanding loans do you have? You're asking for a loan. 18,000 shekel is a big number, but at least before I could give it over to the people, I have people who work with me in the Gemach. How many outstanding loans do you have? So the guy didn't want to answer the question, so he changed the subject. Well, I have this check I could give you, and that check I could give you, and this one owes me money. He said, okay, so you don't want to answer me? You're not going to tell me how many outstanding loans you have? So again, he changed the subject and started telling me how he'd be able to pay back. When we have a mitzvah of doing chesed, helping a person, be it monetarily or physically, that doesn't mean to be stupid. It doesn't mean to be taken. We have to do it intelligently. So, Chazal tell us, when the Torah says we're supposed to go in the path of Hashem, that's talking about the path of doing kindness, lending people our objects, lending people a hand, helping them physically, and giving people a monetary loan, so that's a verse. The Torah says, "In kesef talveh tami," that's an open verse. When it says, go in my path, it's talking about being a kind person. Then it says, "Asher yelchu," teach them the path they will go on. That our sages say is visiting the sick. Va, in it, that's talking about burying people. So visiting the sick, that's another thing. People don't take that seriously. Here in the Machon, how many times is someone sick and no one brings them up food from the cafeteria? Why? That's the mitzvah of visiting the sick. How many times is a person sick in bed and no one knows what's doing with him? That's our mitzvah. Bikur cholim is a mitzvah to visit someone when they're sick. I know most of the time that guys over here undergo circumcisions, I'm the one that brings them the painkillers. Now, I don't mind. I'm happy to have the mitzvah. But it strikes me as odd. Where are all the students? It's your friend who's lying in bed. Biker Hol means asking him, can I get you medication? Can I pick something up for you? So that's Biker Holim. Ba Zukvura, Chazal say burying the dead. People don't do that either. Here in Israel, I don't know how it is in the States, I don't think they'd let you do it, but here in Israel, they actually let you partake in the burial. If you guys ever go to a funeral, you'll see. And what I've seen is that people shy away from it. They don't want to get their clothes dirty. But it's a mitzvah.
What part of the burial?
Every part of the burial. I've been to burials where they asked me hold the head. So I'm not saying you have to do that if you're scared of doing that. I'm saying, but at least putting in the dirt, taking a shovel and putting in the dirt. So in the States, I've never seen them do that. But here in Israel, I ordinarily don't go into a cemetery. My custom is that, the Ekish custom is that so long as one's parents are alive, until 120, they don't go into a cemetery. The first time a person's supposed to go in is when their parents die. But one of their parents died. But I was once at a burial where no one wanted to take the body. They needed someone to carry the body. And there was that the assumption was that people would help. No one helped. So I took the body together with the Chevra Kadisha, one guy from the Chevra Kadisha and me. So that's how I ended up inside the cemetery. Then the guy says, gee, your help. You want to grab the head and I'll grab the feet? That was like, I wasn't ready for that one. But that's the mitzvah. I mean, the mitzvah is the person needs to be buried. What's the... So I'm not saying you have to go that far, at least. But putting in the dirt. I can understand a person scared of holding the body. It's really not comfortable. But it's a mitzvah to help bring a person to burial, to their final resting spot. So that's the Talmud. That's the quote from the Gemara. And we'll pick up here, Bezat Shem, next time.